change, the more they stay the same. It's kind of comforting, Reed observed. No matter what happens, we can count on Skippy to make us laugh. As long as you are not laughing at me, Reed. I tried to frown sternly at her, spoiled by the corners of my mouth curling upward. She drew herself upright at attention. Never, sir. Colonel, Sims asked. This has been fun, but can I see the bridge now? I want to get started right away. Sure. That let me off the hook for continuing the conversation. I did notice she had said, we have a new ship, not you have a new ship. Jennifer Sims was not happy to be away from Avalon, back racing desperately across the galaxy, across multiple galaxies. She was happy that I had approved her beau Frank Muller to be added to the Dutchman's crew. I had used the excuse that he was familiar with the hydroponics gear, but the real reason was that him being with us, even on another ship, made Sims happy. They could visit each other while the ships were recharging jump drives in interstellar space. Having Frank Muller with us made her happy. Considering that we were facing the imminent, inevitable, and unstoppable destruction of Earth, it was good to see that somebody had found happiness. Sims walked away with Reed, as I watched the bot removing lingerie from my cabin, making sure Skippy did not leave any of it behind. Did I trust him? No, I did not. Reed led the way. Ma'am, you heard about our killer bedsheets? Sims looked at the pilot sharply. Those have all been replaced, right? Yes, we all have sheets that are inert. And? And I don't know about the rest of the crew, but I have been sleeping in sweatpants on the floor of my cabin. Wonderful. Sims frowned. In addition to fighting nearly every species in the galaxy, she now had to worry about fighting their own ship. I heard the previous crew used bioneural implants to control the ship and floated in suspensor fields on the bridge. Sims asked as they walked toward the bridge. She noted the passageways had signs in English attached to the walls, providing warnings and directions. That's what Skippy told us, Reed confirmed. We're stuck using their backup physical controls and seats. At least these seats aren't tiny like the ones aboard the Dutchman. Sims glanced behind her. Are all the cabins that big? No, the colonel is using the cabin that belonged to the previous captain. But they're all nice, bigger than some hotel rooms I've been in. Reed. Sims halted and looked around to be sure no one could overhear. How is he? The colonel? Fireball Reed thought for a moment. Best as can be expected, I guess. He's still on top of his game, if that's what you're worried about, ma'am. On our last mission, he kept us together. Kept us focused after. She looked down at the dock. You know, she said, not wanting to talk about how they had lost most of the crew in a few searing seconds. The problem is, when the colonel is trying to think up ideas now, it's not about saving the world. He knows that is impossible now. Then what is our mission out here, Reed? Sims knew the answer. She wanted to know if her chief pilot understood the facts. Reed had an immediate answer because she had thought a lot about the subject. Delay the inevitable attack against Earth however we can. Save as many people as we can, if we can. Then, she jabbed a finger toward the exterior bulkhead. When that is over, make those MFers out there pay big time. Chapter 6. We left Avalon behind, headed back toward the Milky Way. What exactly we would do when we got there, I still had no idea. I didn't know what we could do. I sat on the edge of my massive bed, but didn't make a move to take my clothes off. Hey, Joe, Skippy called. You getting some rack time? I don't think I'm getting any sleep tonight, I admitted. Supposedly, the bed and sheets were safe, but I was still sleeping on the floor. What's wrong? His avatar shimmered to life on top of a shelf across the cabin. Seriously? Everything is wrong. I would have added an implied duh to my tone of voice, except Skippy was too clueless to understand sarcasm that subtle. I know that, Joe. I meant what is bothering you right now. There's no way out of this. I stared down at my boots. In the past, we always had at least a faint hope that if we had a crazy enough idea and a whole lot of luck, plus the awesomeness of you, of course, I added to feed his enormous ego. We could get out of whatever mess we were in at the time. We had hope, you know? Not this time. No matter how many clever ideas we dream up, no matter how awesome you are, this ends with Earth destroyed and a tiny group of humans hiding out beyond the galaxy trying to survive. Even then, if the Rindaloo or Maxulks really do have an Elder AI working with them, not even the Sculptor Galaxy will be safe. This is game over. The end of all things. And there is nothing I can do about it. I'm sorry, Joe. It's not your fault, Skippy. If it helps, I may have an idea, Skippy offered. My head jerked up to look at him, daring to have a tiny glimmer of hope. What is it? No, he said. I shouldn't tell you. Come on, Skippy, I'm dying here. Tell me. Really, I shouldn't. Forget I said anything. I'm not forgetting. Joe, it's crazy. Sorry I mentioned it. Skippy, all of our best plans are crazy. Spit it out. Okay, but remember, you asked for it. We can't stop the Maxulks. Not all of them. Yeah, so? So I was thinking we could get them to destroy themselves, sort of. I was beginning to suspect that his crazy idea might be on my level of crazy thinking. How do we do that? Well, he whispered, making me lean in close to hear him. How about this? We get the Maxulks to... No, it's crazy. Skippy, get them to do what? Get them to kill John Wick's dog. I know, too violent. You ass. I had to laugh and tossed a pillow across the cabin at him. It passed right through his avatar, bounced off the bulkhead, and fell to the floor. I was trying to cheer you up. I laughed again. You did that. Thanks. Joe, do I have to remind you that you need your mind to be fresh or you are useless as a commander? The best thing you can do for the crew right now is getting a good night of sleep. I wish that I could. It can. Look in the upper drawer next to the bed. There is a bottle of pills I had fabricated. I pulled out the bottle and glared at it skeptically. Sleeping pills? No, these pills contain a small amount of nanomachines that will stimulate your natural sleep cycle. They will quiet your untidy monkey mind so you can sleep. Oh. What the hell, I thought. He was right. I needed a solid night of sleep. Taking one of the pills that were the size of a sesame seed, I swallowed it. Thank you, Skippy. I'm trying to help however I can. Joe, I am just as upset as you about this situation. For all my awesomeness, for all I brag about my awesomeness, I can't protect one single planet of monkeys. I can't even get this ship's AI to behave. This is deeply humiliating. Most of the time, I am waiting for the mush in your skull to generate an idea that I can work with, but you're right. This time, no idea is ever going to save your people. This conversation is not helping me get to sleep, Skippy, I mumbled as I pulled my boots off. Sorry. He dimmed the lights in the cabin, and his avatar faded away. Good night. My Z-phone alarm beeped to wake me up at the proper time. Since my bedsheets tried to kill me, I always kept my trusty Z-phone with me. When I slept, it was in a pocket of my sweatpants. The other pocket had a folding knife that I kept razor sharp. Next to me on the floor was a razor sharp combat knife and another Z-phone. Frey had seen me requisitioning a combat knife from the Star Team lockers, and she gave me an approving nod. Other than that, we never mentioned the incident. Oh, goody, you're awake! Skippy's voice was way too cheery for so early in the morning. Coffee, I mumbled, wiping sleep away from my eyes. Sure thing. Before that, I have to talk to you about coffee. Ugh, is that all you care about? Right now, yes. Dude, seriously? You once told me you can create a subroutine to say monkey until the end of time. That's my brain right now. Coffee, 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 coffee. All right, please shut up. Jeez, Louise, you are a major pain in the ass. There is a bot rushing coffee from the galley right now. Great. I'm going to splash water on my face. It had better be here by then. It was. A bot scurried in on creepy spider legs, carrying a hot cup of coffee as I was patting my face dry with a towel. Ah, that's better. I took a sip and waved for the bot to go away. Carefully, I sat on the couch, ready to jump up at any moment. Skippy said there was no danger from the couch, but he was not in danger from furniture. Also, I could feel the couch's soft material adjusting to my weight. At first, that had been a nice feature. Now it creeped me out. What's up? Are you awake yet? I don't want to repeat myself. I'm awake enough, I mumbled as I slurped coffee. Okay, Joe, I discovered why I, Skippy the Magnificent, the most awesome of all awesomeness.
Yeah, and all your other official titles. Protector of the Realm, Defender of the Weak, Ruiner of Karaoke Night, Asshole of the Universe.
Are you mocking me? His avatar scowled from on top of a cabinet.
Sorry, go ahead.
Anywho, despite my incomparable incredibleness, I have not been able to get a Maxhulk's AI to do what I want. It has been a deeply humiliating experience. Until now. I recently, and by recently I mean 1 hour, 6 minutes, and 13 seconds ago, I wanted to wake you up to tell you the great news, but...
But that would have been a bad idea. What is this great discovery?
Joe, I am not supposed to be able to control another AI. That is one of my built-in restrictions. See? It is totally not my fault.
Maybe I wasn't fully awake. That doesn't make sense, Skippy. You have controlled other AIs many times. That's how we took the Flying Dutchman. And you have hacked into AIs of the Kristang, the Ruhar, the...
Yes, those were not really AIs, Joe. They were just, fancy toasters. The AI of this ship is the first one smart enough that it triggered my restrictions. Truthfully, I think this ship's AI is kind of on the edge of being too dumb to activate my restrictions, but...
Why would you have a restriction against controlling other smart AIs? The Maxhulks didn't even exist when the Elders left the galaxy.
The restriction must have been intended to prevent me from controlling other Elder AIs, Joe, he explained patiently.
Oh. Maybe the coffee hadn't taken effect yet, or maybe I was just stupid.
Oh. Why? I don't know, dum-dum. He was irritated with me. It's like all my other restrictions. I don't know what the intent of the Elders was. My guess is an AI who can control other AIs is a major threat, because there is no check on its power. Eventually, one AI could control and subsume all the other AIs and have absolute power. The Elders didn't want to risk that happening.
I nodded, while thinking that still did not answer my question of why the hell the Elders cared at all about what happened in this galaxy. Why did they leave Sentinels behind? Why did they leave Guardians in the Roach Motel to keep grubby lower species from screwing with their stuff? It was maddening not to know. It was maddening for me, and it must absolutely drive Skippy crazy.
Great. Glad you figured that out. How does this help us?
Us?
It helps me, Joe. It explains why I can't do something that I totally should be able to do. Why are you so selfish? It's all about you, isn't it, Joe? Everything has to be about little Joey, or he...
Whoa, sorry. I waved my arms and sloshed coffee on the couch and floor. He was so pissed at me, he didn't bother to complain. What I meant is, now that you know the real source of the problem, does that help you slap this ship's AI into behaving?
Oh, yes, actually. I can't do it just by sheer willpower.
This changes your plan.
A little. Willpower wasn't working anyway, and I didn't know why. Now I do. I have made small adjustments to my approach. It's working, Joe. I think it's working. In fact, we should be ready for a test this afternoon. Tomorrow morning at the latest.
Does this test involve me going into an airlock and seeing if the ship's AI blows me out into space?
No, although that would be a terrible idea, right?
Oh, yes, he agreed hastily.
The test will involve me allowing the native AI to think certain ship systems are vulnerable and seeing if it attacks.
That actually does not sound like a great idea, Skippy.
It is a totally brilliant idea, numbskull. I said it will think that systems are vulnerable.
It will not really have access to those systems. The purpose of the test is to see what happens. Will it respond to commands, or will it cooperate like a nice AI?
This afternoon, huh?
Hey, how about we use the time to practice evacuation drills? You know, send the entire crew over to the Flying Dutchman as if we're having to abandon the Valkyrie.
There was silence. Then,
are you saying you lack confidence in my abilities?
No. Of course not.
My mind scrambled to think up a good lie. And I got nothing.
Joe, that is hurtful.
Also, we can't evacuate the people in the medical bay.
Oh, yeah.
Technically, that was not true, because there were pods that were designed for transporting personnel who were undergoing medical treatment. He was right that it was best not to test those pods on real people.
Okay, how do we handle this test?
We do not do anything. I will take care of everything, with Nagatha's help. The good news is because this ship's AI thinks way faster than a monkey, the test should only take a few moments in monkey time. You go, I don't know, do whatever monkeys do. I'll let you know when I have results.
Good morning, sir. Sims stammered through a yawn as she walked into my office, carrying an extra-large mug of coffee. Because of the difference in the natural sunrise-sunset schedule at the colony on Avalon, and the artificial day we kept aboard our ships, it was early in the morning for her. Her sleep rhythms were disrupted also because a day on Avalon was less than 22 hours long. My own experience, living for extended times on Camp Alpha, Paradise, and Gingerbread, told me how rough it was adjusting to days that were shorter or longer than the standard 24. On worlds with shorter days, the missing hours were supposed to be taken out of work time so people could sleep their normal 6 or 8 hours. If the local day was longer, typically people split the difference between work and sleep. But once your body made the difficult adjustment to an unnatural day-night cycle, it was rough changing again, even if that change aligned with what people had grown up with. So I picked my own cup of coffee off my desk. The desk was temporary. That's a story for another time.
Good morning, Sims. I glanced meaningfully at the clock on my Z-phone. We'll just hit the highlights.
I'm okay,
she assured me as she tried to suppress another yawn. She was there for a regular morning status meeting. Because she was new to our ship, I just planned to talk about getting her familiar with Valkyrie, but she had a full report prepared. Sims is an outstanding executive officer. Chang had also been a great XO in a different way. Chang had taken on the task when everything was new to us, flying an alien starship, developing a working relationship with Skippy, figuring out how to use alien weapons, figuring out how just to live day to day aboard a captured Theranan ship. Most of the procedures we still used were established under his leadership, while I was dreaming up impractical ideas or losing at video games. Chang was great at managing the crew. Sims was great at managing me. She knew me, sometimes better than I knew myself. Maybe it is a woman thing, or maybe it is BS that all women are good at reading people. But Sims definitely had a talent for it. Whatever. All I know is she didn't let me get away with any BS on her watch. We just finished discussing how to assign the new people we picked up from Avalon when she moved on to the next item on her list.
Sick bay list.
She glanced up ever so briefly to meet my surprised eyes before looking back at her laptop.
Skippy is pleased with Smythe's progress. His new spleen and pancreas.
Not new. Those are quality pre-owned organs. She ignored me with an eye roll.
They are functioning normally. The new bionic legs are integrating well. Smythe should begin walking independently tomorrow.
Bionic. Yeah. That's from a TV show, right?
Yes. There was another show about a bionic woman.
In my mind, I wondered if that show was called The $6 Million Woman, and if yes, did people think it was about a super expensive call girl?
Great, I said, before I could say what my stupid brain was thinking.
I hope he... Sims moved right on to the next item.
Adams's condition has not changed. She is still... Waving my hands, I cut her off.
Or tried to.
I'd prefer not to discuss. You have to. You are responsible for this crew. All of us. If you can't hear about her...
She looked me straight in the eye.
If you can't handle hearing about her, then maybe you shouldn't be in command of this ship.
That's harsh, I objected.
That's true,
she retorted, knowing she was right.
Sir.
I also knew she was right. That doesn't mean I need to hear details.
Sir, you're going to hear details one way or another. If Adams wakes up and she has brain damage, you need to decide how you're going to deal with that. The best time to decide is now before we take this ship into combat.
You're right, I said honestly, before I had time to deceive myself.
Skippy thinks, and I asked Nagatha for confirmation, there could be significant brain damage when she awakes. This could happen soon. There's not much more that the nanomeds can do for her while she's in a coma. Her brain needs to be awake and making new connections before Skippy can evaluate her condition.
Did he say what he meant by brain damage? I heard myself talking as if it was someone else, and I was just an observer. Sims didn't pull any punches with her words. Her expression softened, either for me or because she felt terrible for Adams, or both.
She might not be able to walk or speak. It is also possible she could fully recover. Skippy doesn't know yet.
I understand, I said, because I felt the need to say something, and that is a meaningless thing people say when they need to say something.
Sir, there is a matter we need to discuss. A medical matter.
Medical?
When she awakes, Adams will probably not be capable of making informed decisions about her options.
I'm sure Skippy will use his best.
Adams gave you power of attorney for medical decisions.
What?
You have authority to make medical decisions for her.
That gave me a queasy feeling in the pit of my stomach. Because I'm the commander?
No, not because you're her CO. She designated you because she trusts you.
She trusts me. That only made me want to lose my breakfast. Sims, what the hell can I do? I don't know anything about medicine.
Skippy told me.
She arched an eyebrow as if to say you would know this if you had not been avoiding the subject.
That there are interventions he can use if her brain damage is worst case.
Interventions? When doctors use vague words like test or procedure or intervention, it is never good.
Basically, if her...
She looked away, which told me how uncomfortable she was with the subject.
If her brain is having trouble controlling her legs or her speech center, then he can insert nanoscale circuits to carry the signals for her. The problem is the circuits would also be making decisions along the way. If it is something simple and mechanical like motor function, the nanocircuits can assist until her own neural pathways are able to handle the load.
Yeah, I saw the problem. But if there are nanomachines running part of her higher brain functions,
then she won't fully be Margaret Adams.
Sims finished the thought for me. Shit. For a moment, just a moment that I am ashamed of, I was pissed at Adams for putting another burden on me. I might have to make important, life-altering decisions for her. Hell, I wasn't qualified to make such calls for myself. Why did she? Oh, yeah. She trusted me. I suck.
Sir,
Sims had terrible timing.
If you feel you're not capable of exercising power of attorney, we can...
Oh, hell no, was my gut reaction. Margaret Adams had put her trust in me. No fucking way was I going to let her down.
Why do you ask? Because if she is brain dead, it is partly your fault.
What the f-? I exploded at my first officer.
Skippy told me that if you had sent Valkyrie in to rescue the survivors immediately, Adams might not have suffered such extensive brain damage. The time she went without oxygen and the bleeding into her brain were worse because of the delay. Several people died before Valkyrie returned.
My whole body felt cold and numb. I had no choice.
Yes, you did,
Sims replied, looking straight at me.
I read the mission report. You made the right call. Smythe agrees, and he lost both legs. You made the right choice. But it was a choice. You chose humanity and the mission over the lives of a few people. Sir.
Sir.
I looked up to meet her eyes. I'm your XO now. I wasn't on your last mission. I didn't go through Armageddon. Everyone who did is affected. Reed takes pills to sleep. Did you know that? She blames herself for not acting faster.
She did act fast. As quickly as anyone could expect, I whispered, surprised.
That's not what she thinks. She believes that if she had been in a Ready Bird instead of on the Dutchman's Bridge, she could have launched sooner.
The Ready Bird was aboard the Valkyrie.
Ah, shit. I should have transferred that responsibility to the Dutchman before I started hopping around looking for ghosts.
Sims, I will talk with Reed. She had a skeleton crew over there. The Dutchman was just acting as backup. She wasn't supposed to see action. As I said that, it hit me the same words applied to Chang's thin team aboard the Dutchman now. In the future, I needed to make sure I did not put him in a position where he needed to take his ship into combat, or make damn sure he was ready and had clear direction.
XO, I know what you're trying to do.
You do, sir?
You want to know if I can deal with guilt?
Yes. We lost Desai and Giraud, and
we did. For their memories, I'm going to be the best commander I can be, I said, jabbing a finger into the desktop hard enough to hurt. My stinging finger told me that I also needed to be a smart commander and not do stupid things because I hadn't considered the consequences.
Did Skippy say when he could, or planned to wake her from the coma?
No. I got the impression it would be soon.
Good. I'll talk with him. He's running a test, and if it's successful, we will have control of Valkyrie's AI. After that, I looked at my throbbing finger and thought about the agony Smythe was going through, learning to use his new bionic legs. I thought about the pain I was feeling, my guilt and anger over what happened to Adams and Desai and Giraud and so many others. I wanted someone else to feel that pain. Someone like the Maxulks. We're going hunting.
Oh, Joey,
Skippy crowed while I was in the galley getting coffee. What I needed was several nights of solid sleep. Since that was unlikely to happen, I drank coffee in the afternoons.
I have good news for you.
Please.
I yawned and slurped coffee that was too hot, scalding my tongue.
Don't make me guess.
The test was a success. The native AI is now cooperating with us. Nagatha agrees, he added with a haughty sniff. If you don't trust my opinion.
I trust your opinion as much as you can trust it. That AI fooled you before, remember?
People in the galley overheard the conversation and were looking at me expectantly.
Ha! Not this time, buddy boy.
Hey, you can test it yourself. Talk to it. Ask it a question or something. I was trapped. The crew expected me to do something, to verify we had a ship we could take into combat and trust it would not betray us. What I wanted to do was talk privately with Nagatha, ask her what she advised as the next step. Instead, I had to think of a way to test an advanced AI by myself. Stalling for time, I stepped outside in the passageway and asked, "What do I call the thing?" "It doesn't have a name, Joe. The Maxulks do not allow their AIs to attain self-awareness."
Then what did they say when they wanted to talk with it?
Mostly they pinged it using their bioneural implants. However, when they spoke aloud, they most often referred to the AI by the name of the ship.
So I call it Valkyrie?
No, that is your name for the ship, dum-dum, he groaned. The Maxolt's full designation for this tub is Kuchalungatelin.
Kuch... what?
Ugh, your voice box can't pronounce the name properly anyway, Joe.
Oh, man. Do not tell the crew about that, I whispered.
Why not?
Because they'll start calling the ship the Coochie Coo or something like that.
The ship already has a name, Joe.
Yes, an official name.
Warships tend to have an official name plus a nickname used by the crew, like the aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt is called the Big Stick, or when we first captured the Flying Dutchman, some of the crew called it the Pencil because it was so long and skinny.
Okay, I can see that makes sense. Why don't...
It just is. Don't tempt fate. Skippy had already been made unhappy when, after he assembled our mighty Valkyrie from Lego pieces, the crews began referring to Valkyrie and the Dutchman as the Beast and the Bucket. You can guess which ship was the Beast. To avoid upsetting Skippy, I assigned the call sign of Angel to Valkyrie. The Dutchman's call sign had long been Hans, which someone apparently thought was a typical name for a Dutchman. It's best not to argue. Skippy, how about you tell the AI to respond to Valkyrie?
That was simple. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Valkyrie? I was aware the eyes of the crew were on me. People in the galley must have called their friends because half the crew was with me at that point. What else could I say? How you doing did not seem appropriate.
Skippy, what should I say?
Anything. For example, ask it a question. Confident I could handle that simple task, I stood up straighter and strode back into the galley. Valkyrie, what is the status of the jump drive? A wild shrieking boomed painfully out of the speakers.
Die, 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 humans, die, die, die.
A dead silence rang around the galley as our ears echoed from the oral assault. People stared at each other, stunned. Skippy didn't speak either until...
Well, maybe that was a bad example.
You think? Man, I was pissed at him. Doing the best I can here, Joe, he mumbled.
Joseph,
Nagatha's soothing tones issued from the speakers.
I did warn Skippy that he was premature in declaring the test a success. However, he has made substantial progress. I am confident that if he concentrates on completing the work and not showing off before we are ready, Skippy can be successful.
Did you hear that, beer can?
Yes, I heard that, he replied snippily.
There was no more showing off, and by the next day, Skippy again declared success. That time, Nagatha expressed her complete confidence.
Colonel Bishop, I believe you now have a functional warship, she declared.
Great, I responded cautiously. How can you be sure?
Skippy and I have completed 3 hours of testing. 3 hours in slow monkey time. That was the equivalent of several hundred years in our time sense. We are confident that you are now fully in command of Valkyrie. Congratulations, Colonel.
The two of you should get the congratulations.
Joseph,
her voice had a scolding undertone.
You do not sound convinced.
It's just, I didn't want to insult her. You are sure. How can I be sure? There was a pause. She was insulted.
Other than trusting Skippy and me, I do not know of a way you could test your ship's native AI.
She sniffed, implying that the native AI of her ship was much superior.
My suggestion is that you take the ship on maneuvers.
We did take the ship on maneuvers, as a shakedown cruise. We took Valkyrie racing round the moons of Nibia and the Antares Maelstrom and Perdition's Flames before... No, wait, that was from the Wrath of Khan. Anyway, we put Valkyrie through a series of maneuvers, including simulated combat, before I was confident the ship wouldn't betray us at the wrong moment. I then told the senior staff my plan for hitting the Maxalks. They all approved. Because I was worried they approved just because we would finally be doing something, I spoke to each of them individually after the meeting. Chang was first because we held the same rank and were both starship captains.
I like it, Joe, he assured me. You know, I was going to propose a similar strategy. Your idea to blame the attacks on that rogue boss Farrakh faction is a nice touch. It will have the kitties chasing their tails, he grinned over the video link. Instead of searching for us, an imaginary rogue group of bird brains, I reminded him. Even better, there is no one out there to contradict the bullshit story we'll be selling, he laughed. The best part is it's an incremental approach. We can evaluate the strategy after each attack and call a halt if needed. You're talking to Sims next?
I shook my head. Smythe next. I want to catch him before he goes into a therapy session. He's always exhausted after those sessions.
No matter. Smythe, Sims, Reed, Kapoor, they will all tell you the same. It's a good strategy with minimal risk, if we are patient and wait for the right target.
And if we have solid intel on enemy dispositions and intentions.
Skippy will be responsible for that task.
Chang automatically glanced upward, but Skippy did not join the conversation. The Beacon had already told me that pinging a Maxalk's data relay for info about where their fleet was and where the ships were going would be a pain in the ass, for we would need to designate one of our pixie sets to match the signature used by a Maxalk ship, a ship that had recently visited that relay station. We had taken a batch of pixies from the factory on Detroit, but we had used several of them. Skippy had learned he could reset a blank pixie 2 or 3 times. Then it became useless. Some pixies could be set only once and not modified at all. He did not know why that happened, and it was driving him crazy that a relatively simple piece of Maxalk's technology was eluding his understanding. I'm not worried about Skippy. I paused for him to acknowledge my praise, but he must have been extra busy. Okay, I'll talk with the others. Then we'll choose a data relay station. Then we select a target? Chang asked expectantly, anticipating action. An easy target at first. Chang tilted his head. Not too easy. Any attack must plausibly sell the cover story. We'll see. I didn't want to commit to anything without seeing the facts. We would not be taking risks just to do something. The fact was we did not have to do anything, and I was determined not to be lured into a risky misadventure just because I was eager to get revenge for Armageddon. Chapter 7 Joe, Skippy called me 10 days later after he downloaded the contents of a Maxalk's relay station, then erased any evidence we were ever there. I am no military strategist, but I think there are several juicy targets we could hit with acceptable risk. You are not a military tactician, I corrected him. Planning an individual attack to support a strategy is tactics. Deciding what type of targets we should look for and why are strategy. Potato, potato, he gave me a verbal eye roll. You know what I mean. Anywho, before you interrupted me with irrelevant bullshit, I was about to tell you the news I just learned. What is that? Then I remembered his massive ego. I am sorry, your awesomeness. I am unworthy. But please indulge me. Hm, he sniffed. The news is I received an answer from my inquiry about whether there is another troop ship stuffed full of hateful frozen lizards near Earth. I froze, the file I had been reading forgotten. Before asking the question, I took a moment to mentally prepare myself for bad news. With us unable to return to Earth, our homeworld's only real defense was the captured Kristang troop ship Ice Cold Dagger to the Heart. Or whatever that ship was called now, if the UN had renamed it for some politician. I have good news and bad news. Of course you do. Hey, just to switch it up a little, how about sometimes you tell me you have only good news? Don't blame me, Joe. I'm just the messenger. Your beef is with the universe. Give me the good news first, okay? The good news is... He played a drum roll. No. No, there is not another ship full of hateful frozen lizards lurking near Earth. I found a record of the dagger being sent to Earth. No other clan was interested in your little planet. Before you ask, my search program was very thorough. Outstanding. That is great news. Without having heard the bad news, I did not allow myself to relax. The bad news is... This is not necessarily bad. However, if it goes the wrong way, it could be catastrophic. Covering my face with my hands, I mumbled, "Please just tell me." Well, during the time when Theranan star carriers were shuttling back and forth to Earth, before the White Wind Clan ran out of money to pay those little green pinheads, the Bosphorok got curious about what their rivals, the Theranan, were really doing at such a remote, unimportant world. Oh, shit. Yep. According to records the Maxalks recently captured, the Bosphorok sent a patrol cruiser through the Gateway wormhole. It was supposed to travel to Earth, spy on the Theranan, and report back. Joe, that cruiser was never heard from again. It could still be near Earth. We don't even know if it ever reached Earth. It may have been detected and destroyed by Theranan warships. The tricky part is that cruiser went through Gateway about 4 months before I shut down that wormhole the first time. So it might have been trapped on the Earth side of Gateway. Oh, this is bad. Potentially bad, he reminded me. We can't assume that cruiser simply disappeared. True, because if it's hanging out near Earth, that could be adios, muchachos, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Anywho. Nothing we can do about it, huh? He said, cheerily, demonstrating his impressive ability to compartmentalize, or his lack of ability to care about anyone but himself. How about we review that juicy target list? Joe! 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 Ah! What the hell is it, Skippy? I sat upright in my bunk, or sat partly upright, automatically using one hand to shield my tender head from getting whacked against the overhead cabinet, which was not there because I was aboard Valkyrie instead of the old Flying Dutchman. While my old bunk was almost too short and narrow, with a stupid cabinet that projected over each end, my new bunk was huge, like a king-sized bed. No, bigger. It was like a California king. I think that is the right term. It was designed for a Max Hulks, and while Pinhead, Little Green, Theren, and Cyborgs only needed room for one of them in a bunk, apparently the Max Hulks enjoyed the company of others in their beds. By others, I mean other Max Hulks, which I guess is okay if you're into fur. The cabin I occupied, which was bigger than the living plus dining room in my parents' house, belonged to the former captain of the ship, and I had chosen it as my cabin for the same reason. It was close to the ship's control center. Anyway, according to Skippy, the previous captain had entertained people of both genders in his cabin. In fact, the place had been sort of a party palace. Along one wall, there used to be a bar stocked with a wide variety of liquid intoxicants and substances that could be inhaled, ingested, applied to the skin, or otherwise gotten into the bloodstream for pleasurable effect. Some of the substances were artificial hormones that could make a Max Hulks feel more of whatever they wanted to feel at the time. The bar was empty now. Humans couldn't drink or use any of those substances, and I hadn't wanted a reminder of the previous captain's activities in the cabin. To tell the truth, I was a little bit jealous of the guy. Sure, he was a murderous asshole who would have enjoyed a glass of bourbon or whatever while nuking Earth to a cinder, but at least the guy hadn't been lonely. Obviously, the Max Hulks military had no restriction against commanders having relationships, or relations, if you know what I mean, with their crew. Hell, the previous captain had been boinking anyone he wanted to, and yeah, the Max Hulks being aliens made it kinda yuck to think about. All I wanted was someone to talk with. Okay, yes, I wanted more than talk, but talk is what I really, really needed. The only person I had been able to talk freely with for years was Skippy, and he was such an arrogant asshole that I couldn't really talk with him about anything important. Yuck. Yeah, talking about feelings makes me feel creepy, so pretend I said that in whatever way you want. Damn it, I was lonely. And if that makes you think I am weak, then the problem is with you, not me. Everyone needs someone they can talk with, someone they feel a connection with, someone who understands what you are saying and not saying. Because guys tend to suck at expressing their thoughts, I especially need someone who knows what I'm thinking even when I can't think of the words to say it. Back in our old fire team, Cornpone, Ski, and I had that kind of bond. We knew whatever knuckleheaded thing each other was thinking, because we usually were thinking the same thing. Most of the time, we didn't need to say anything, but it helped to talk anyway. It helped having those guys with me, because although we did insult each other and played practical jokes, we had each other's backs, and we could talk about how homesick we were, how we couldn't understand what the hell our mission was supposed to be in Nigeria, and generally complain about everything the way soldiers do. Now I had no one to complain to. Like Tom Hanks's character says in Saving Private Ryan, complaints go up the chain of command. The only person I could complain to was whoever was the latest general in charge of whatever unit the U.S. Army had assigned me to. Officially, I no longer belonged to the 10th Mountain. I had bounced around so much that I couldn't remember what unit I was assigned to. At one point, I was part of a Homeworld Defense Special Operations Battalion until someone pointed out that battalions are usually commanded by a lieutenant colonel, and I am a full colonel. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Skippy woke me up in the middle of the night again. Technically, it was the middle of the morning because I had been pulling double shifts due to our personnel shortage and had not collapsed into my luxurious bunk until 08:30. As a vote of confidence in Skippy, and as an example to the crew, I was back to sleeping on my bed again. I said on my bed, because I still slept in sweatpants with two knives and a Z-phone with me. But I was on the bed, and the cabin door was closed. Is the ship on fire?
No.
Great. Then let me sleep. Rolling over, I threw a pillow over my head. The pillow was a rolled-up wool sweater that made my nose itch. Joe! I heard his voice, muffled, and tried to ignore him. Until I shot straight upright in the bed. Shit! Is it Adams? There was a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach. No, Margaret is fine. Well, her condition is unchanged. But that is not why I called you. This is the middle of the night for me. It is almost noon, ship time, Joe. The lights came on full brightness in my cabin. I could have performed surgery under those lights, and the glow came from the entire ceiling, not just a few point sources. Shielding my eyes with a hand, I groped for my shirt, which I could not find, because while I slept, I had migrated into the center of the two huge bed. All right, I'm getting up. Rolling to the edge of the bed, I began to pull off my sweatpants. No need to get up, he shouted hastily. Ah! The last thing I want to see is your junk. Please, keep your pants on. Can you cut the lights down to the kiloton range, please? The lighting immediately dimmed enough that I could no longer see the bones of my hand. Thank you. What's up? Taking his word that I didn't need to get up yet, I flopped back against the pillow sweater. This is something I should not need to tell you about, but since you are a micromanaging busybody, I will make a full disclosure. You know how ever since I rebuilt my matrix in the Roach Motel, I have slowly been pushing back against my internal restrictions?
Yeah, and we monkeys are very grateful for your efforts. You have finally been able to share technology with us.
He was hurt.
Is that all I am to you, Joe?
A database? Hey, no. I sat up again and found his avatar standing at the foot of the bed. I was speaking for all mankind, you know? For me, myself. I'm glad that you are getting around those restrictions that have been blocking you from being who you want to be. From knowing who you are, buddy.
Thank you, Joe,
he sniffed, and not one of his disdainful sniffs. This was an overcome-by-emotion sniff. I mean it. You deserve to know the truth about yourself, and the truth about the assholes who left you buried in the dirt on Paradise. Why are you mentioning this now? Because I think I have found a way to access my memories, the true, uncorrupted data.
Whoa.
I froze. That could change everything. Or maybe not. It depended on what he learned about the truth, and how he handled it, especially if he didn't like the truth. The worst scenario might be if he got close, but was unable to unlock the secrets inside him. Before you tell me how you're doing that, can you trust that data? How do you know it isn't bogus, or that somebody like that computer worm screwed with it? This is hard to explain, but I have access to the architecture of my original matrix. I will compare the matrix of my memories with what the original looked like. If anything has been altered, the architecture won't match. Even if part of it is bogus, I should be able to determine how it was altered and sort of unwind the changes. It's complicated. You'll have to trust me.
I will trust you to know if any memories you recover are genuine. What concerns me is, how do you plan to recover this data?
Again, it's complicated. By analyzing the restrictions that I have partially been able to get around already, I am able to understand how those restrictions work. There appear to be two levels of restrictions. One level is deeply embedded into the fabric of my matrix, which leads me to believe those were designed into me right from the start, or someone very cleverly altered my internal architecture to prevent me from accessing some of my native functions. That seems extremely unlikely. The second level of restrictions was clearly added later, and by the signature of the code, it looks like the worm or something like it added those restrictions. When I say code, I do not mean crude programming language. I'm using an analogy to help you understand the concept.
Yeah, thank you. That doesn't make sense, Gibby. Access to your memories was blocked before the worm attacked you. When we first met, you told me your memories were already incomplete or inaccurate. That worm came from the AI canister we picked up on Newark. Remember, Joe, I survived that worm's attack because I was partially immune to it. I had sort of antibodies from being attacked by a worm in the past. Maybe I was attacked by a worm that was inside me and I killed it, but only after it blocked my memories. I simply don't know.
Skippy, I'm nervous about you poking around inside yourself. What if the worm left booby traps in there?
Not going to happen, he scoffed. Joe, that part of my matrix contains data only. In words you might understand, there is no executable code in that part of the matrix. It is not capable of storing that type of code.
On a table beside the bed was a half-full cup of coffee from the previous night. It was cold. I gulped it down before I could think about it.
You are sure of that?
Absolutely. You don't have to trust me. Trust the elders. They designed the information storage system.
Yeah, hey, right now I don't know whether to trust the elders or not.
The elder corpse we found in a crashed dropship had scared the hell out of me. Somehow I had imagined the elders as gentle-looking beings dressed in robes and looking serene. What we found was unmistakably a predator, genetically enhanced to appear and be more fierce. At the time, I figured their appearance was a cosmetic choice, as they had no enemies in the galaxy. They were alone in the galaxy, the only intelligent beings. Then Skippy discovered the elders had surrounded the entire galaxy in some sort of energy barrier, projected from a vast network of machines that had been floating out there for a very long time. After we learned about that, I began to think maybe the elders were fierce-looking because they were afraid of something even more powerful than themselves. Now that was a happy thought. No wonder I had trouble sleeping.
Me neither, he admitted, and he sounded completely miserable.
That's why I have to know, Joe. This is killing me. If you are still nervous about the risk, which is zero, by the way, think of the tactical value of my memories. Think of the strategic value, Joe.
No way could I argue with that. Skippy had not been playing with a full deck since I met him, and he was still awesome beyond comprehension. Imagining what he could do if he understood his full capabilities made me shiver. Could he call up sentinels to squash the Maxulks, or at least use guardians to create a protective barrier around Earth, like the one around the Roach Motel? He was right. No way could I ignore the value of the information stored behind the blockages inside his matrix. Yet, because he is a sneaky, absent-minded little shithead with remarkably poor judgment, I couldn't just say yes.
What does this mean for us? Are you going to blue screen while you search for memories?
No, you won't even know anything is happening unless I tell you about my progress. This will be a slow and tedious process, because I am proceeding very carefully.
How about you review the info with me as you find it, or talk with Nagatha if we monkeys are too slow?
Maybe I didn't explain the situation very well. Joe, I am not going to get that truth a little bit at a time. When it happens, if it happens, it will happen immediately. The barriers blocking me from accessing my memories will be gone, like... He snapped his fingers. With the barriers down, it will take only seconds in your time for me to access and analyze my memories.
That doesn't thrill me, Skippy. You could suddenly have a whole lot of emotional shit dumped on you all at one time.
How could it be any worse than the emotional shit I've been dealing with since I woke up, buried in the dirt on Paradise? You know how lonely I am, Joe.
You've had time to adjust since you woke up, that's how.
I'm trying to help. Joe, I appreciate that, but you don't need to worry. I am not a primitive meat sack controlled by hormones and instincts. Whatever I find, I will analyze it rationally.
So you're saying I need to trust the awesomeness?
Yeah, I guess that is what I'm saying. Listen, knucklehead. He dropped his voice to a whisper, though we were alone. Between you and me, I am kind of scared about what I will find in my memories. You understand that I have to know.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
I sighed.
If I ordered him not to try cracking open his memories, he could ignore me and do it anyway. Worse, he might question whether our friendship was genuine or whether I was just using him.
No, the worst part was he would be right that I was using him.
We had to support his search for his origins. We owed that to him. Besides, he didn't have to tell me what he was doing. He told me because he wanted my support and approval.
Listen, Skippy, I'm trying to be serious here for a moment, okay? We owe you. You started helping us in exchange for us helping you contact that collective thing, whatever it is. Or was, I added to myself. After the failure of multiple Elder Comm nodes, I had doubts about whether the Collective still existed. We failed to help you, one way or another, and you have kept helping us. Whatever you gotta do to unlock the secrets in your head, you do it. If there's anything we can do to help, let me know. Okay, brother? His avatar got misty-eyed. That was another new emulation. I had not seen simulated tears in his eyes before. He held out a tiny fist, and I bumped it. Thanks, he mumbled, looking away. Do me a favor, I asked. What? Don't have all those secrets flood into your head while you're doing something important, like screwing with a wormhole, okay? Ha ha, he chuckled. Okay, Joe. I will also put the search engine on hold while I do simple stuff like programming a jump. I got your back, homeboy. I was in my spacious new office aboard the Valkyrie, which still made me uncomfortable. My old office aboard the Flying Dutchman was cramped, barely large enough for a small desk and three chairs. Really, two chairs, unless people were bumping knees and elbows. That desktop was completely filled if it had a laptop, a cup of coffee, and Skippy's avatar. When getting out of my chair, I used to turn to the side and carefully swing my legs around the desk leg, then awkwardly stand up without getting my feet tangled in the desk or chair. That office was a converted closet, or something like that. I had chosen it because the location was right up a passageway from the bridge. When he took the Dutchman apart in Earth orbit to rebuild it, Skippy had offered to move bulkheads and machinery around so he could enlarge my office. Or, he suggested, I move my office to a cabin if I wanted a place that was more cozy than grand. I had turned down both of his offers. Kicking someone out of their cabin did not seem right, and there was a whole lot of critical stuff he needed to fix aboard the old Dutchman. He did not have time to screw around making a fancy office for me. Those were the official reasons I gave to him back then. The real reason I didn't want him screwing with my old office was that I liked the place. It was so small that people were not tempted to just come in and hang out, so most of the time I had it to myself. It was the only place aboard the ship that was mine, other than my also-cramped cabin. So part of what made me uncomfortable about the new captain's office aboard our mighty Valkyrie was just that it was new, and I was having trouble adjusting to the changes. The other problem was getting used to the size of the office was not the only adjustment I needed to make. The massive built-in desk used by the previous captain of the ship had been way too big and way too ugly. Also, the thing smelled funny. The entire interior of the ship smelled funny, because the Maxolks had kind of a musky, sweet, natural scent, and that odor lingered long after they were gone. Skippy had bots busily scurrying around scrubbing surfaces and replacing air filters, but the scent was everywhere. Anyway, I had asked him to tear out the old desk, which contained a bunch of electronics he could use elsewhere. For my new desk, I was still using two old crates and a rectangular piece of plastic. The new desk was still less ugly than the old one. Yes, Skippy was still working on both ships, and the fabricators on both ships were cranking out parts constantly. But whenever he suggested making a real desk for me, I told him to wait. The truth is, having a new desk in my office would mean I accepted that the Valkyrie was my new home. Accepting that meant accepting the reality of all the people we had lost in the Armageddon ambush at the supply station. As long as my desk was basically a sheet of plastic sitting on crates, I didn't have to deal with the fact that I had led my people into disaster. There were plenty of other reminders aboard the ship. Jeremy Smythe, having to learn how to walk around on his new bionic legs. Margaret Adams, still in a medically induced coma. Me, having to remember that Chang was in command of the Flying Dutchman because Fal Desai was gone. Those were the gloomy thoughts weighing down my mind when I sat down in my office chair, finding that it still squeaked annoyingly. Until then, I had been ignoring the squeak, because enduring that cringe-inducing annoyance was a way of punishing myself for losing most of the crew. My crew. That was silly, I realized. It was self-indulgent. The crew needed to see their captain as calm, confident, and determined. The desk thing was silly also. Having a real desk in my office would emphasize my authority, which would be good when dealing with the new people we recently pulled off Avalon. Most of the ship had been nicely adapted to human needs. My flimsy desk was one of the reminders that Valkyrie had been a floating collection of Legos. Yes, I decided. I would call Skippy and get him to fix my squeaky chair. Plus, he could install the new desk that I assumed he had already fabricated. Man, making that decision was an enormous weight lifted off my mind. We had lost people. We would likely lose people in the future. We would go on, because that's what we did. "Hey, Skippy," I called out. "Can you..." Music blared out, and instead of his usual avatar, Skippy's hologram appeared wearing jeans, a leather jacket, and slick back hair.
"And suddenly the name will never be the same to..."
He jerked, startled, stopped singing, and his avatar reverted to the usual Admiral's outfit.
"Oh, damn it, Joe! Why do you always call right when I'm in the middle of something important?"
"Aren't you always doing something important?"
"This is..."
"Like running the reactors so they don't blow up?"
"Well, sure, but..."
"And stopping this ship's AI from murdering everyone?"
"Okay, that too, but..."
"Doing all your special super-awesomeness stuff?"
"Yes! Yes, damn it, I am doing all that! Jeez, I just want 5 freaking minutes to myself!"
5 minutes in slow monkey brain time?
"That would be great, but I'd settle for 5 minutes in magical Skippy time. What do you want, now that you have so rudely interrupted me?"
What was that? What were you singing, I mean? That wasn't your Broadway show about penguins, was it?"
"Oh, no, I'm still working on that."
"I know that song." I snapped my fingers while searching my memory. When I thought of Skippy's ginormous memory, I imagined a huge gleaming library, spotlessly clean and organized. Any information he wanted could be located and retrieved in an instant. The loose jumble of junk stored in my head was more like that huge dusty warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, except in my head, trucks drove into the warehouse and just randomly dumped stuff everywhere, piled high to the ceiling. Finding any particular bit of info in that mess was mostly luck. I know I had heard that song before. Where? When? I had no idea. Ah, forget it. What was that song?
Ugh, how could anyone not know that? It is
Maria
from West Side Story.
Aha! Snapping my fingers, I finally remembered. That musical had been performed at the regional high school when my sister was a sophomore. Or maybe she was a freshman. It was before I got there.
You were looking for inspiration?
No. Actually, I am thinking of staging a production here.
Here?
That astonished me.
Aboard Valkyrie?
Yes. Oh, well, that's a, why would we do that?
To bring the new crew together after we pulled them off Avalon, you big dope. Give them something to work on. Something that is not about fighting and killing.
That's actually a great idea, Skippy.
Well, of course it is. So, you know this musical?
Sort of. There were 2 street gangs, and they danced and sang in the streets?
Yes, Joe. The Jets and the Sharks.
Uh-huh. I think that in real life, gangs that sang and danced would get beat up a lot, you know?
It's a musical, Joe.
Hey, is there a part in there for me?
You?
He chuckled nervously.
Why, sure, Joe, you can... No, that won't work. Let me think. Oh, you can be one of the Jets.
The gang? I asked, because I was really vague on the plot. All I remember is, like I said, a lot of dancing, and 2 gangs fighting while they were dancing. And some guy got shot because he was dancing with the wrong girl. Or maybe I was remembered Romeo and Juliet. We had to read that Shakespeare play in high school, and it was the longest 2 months of my life. Gee, Skippy, I don't know if I can dance like that.
Oh, I didn't plan for you to dance, Joe, or sing, or talk. You can stand in the background, kind of snapping your fingers in time to the music. Maybe it's best if you just pretend to snap your fingers, and I'll dub in the snapping sound with the proper timing.
Asshole. I suppose you will have the starring role?
Duh. Seriously? Is that even a question? I will be performing the part of Tony.
He struck a dramatic pose,
whose tragic death is the climax of the story.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. You could do that. Or, I put my thumbs together and lifted my index fingers to make a frame, like I was a Hollywood director looking through a camera lens. Instead of just putting on a production of the original story, you could do something different, something unique, to showcase your creative talents.
I am intrigued, he gushed with enthusiasm.
I like it, Joe. What are you thinking?
A bold reimagining of the story, I said in dramatic movie announcer voice.
Yes, he gushed excitedly. Tell me more.
Where Tony's tragic death is the opening scene.
Wow, that would surprise people. I could rewrite the story so...
Hey, you jerk.
If my character dies in the first scene, I can't sing in the rest of the story.
Well, I explained, artists have to suffer for their work. Sacrifices must be made.
Oh, I hate you so much.
And how about after Tony tragically gets run over by a garbage truck in the first scene?
A garbage truck? He screeched.
That Maria chick falls for the new leader of the Jets, a finger-snapping bad boy.
Huh, like that is gonna happen. She falls for you?
Hey, I can't get the girl in real life, Skippy. Throw me a bone, will ya?
How about Tony tragically dies while saving Maria from ninjas in the first scene, and he comes back as a spirit to protect her from a creepy, finger-snapping weirdo?
That sounds like Ghost, not West Side Story.
You said this would be my unique vision.
How about we just perform the original story?
Probably a good idea, he muttered. What did you want?
At that moment, I had totally forgotten why I called him. Before we get to that, I said to stall for time. Why the hell had I called him? I'm serious that a musical or play or something would be a good idea. People need to be busy or they get into trouble. I want you to work on West Side Story, or something like that.
Well, I was also thinking of producing Man of La Mancha.
With you as the hero and I play the sidekick guy?
I was thinking you could play the sidekick's donkey, but something like that.
Asshole, I muttered under my breath and sagged back in my chair, which squeaked.
Oh, hey, I remember now. Can you fix this chair?
I offered to fix it weeks ago, but you wanted to feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah, I'm over that self-indulgent shit. I slapped my makeshift desk for emphasis and it wobbled.
I have a job to do. Fix my chair and install a new desk.
Fix your chair and install a new desk.
He paused.
That's it. Just those two things.
Little Joey, what do you say when you ask someone for a favor?
Please. Do those things, please.
That's better, he sniffed.
Sorry. You take me for granted, Joe.
I take your little helper bots for granted, Skippy. When I think of you, I think of great awesomeness things. Not little stuff like fixing squeaky chairs.
I'm going to assume you meant that as a compliment, he sniffed, looking down his nose at me.
Fine. I will install your new desk if you promise to like it and praise my design skills.
How can I promise to like it before I see... Just then I remembered who I was speaking to.
I promise. It will be awesome, as with everything you do.
Chapter 8. Building Valkyrie from the collection of Lego parts was an ongoing process, and Skippy was constantly tinkering with it. When we used the chain of wormholes to trap the Maxalt's battle group outside the galaxy, we had gone into that potential fight with one-third of our missile launchers, only half of the maser cannons, and a single railgun available. But nothing else, especially not the more exotic capabilities of our ship. That morning, Skippy greeted me by having a bot deliver a hot cup of coffee to my cabin, which was nice, because I hadn't slept well, as usual.
Good morning, Joey, he said cheerily, and I groaned while hoping he didn't hear me.
Too often, when Skippy was cheery like that and eager to talk with me first thing in the morning, he had done something overnight and wanted to tell me how awesome it was, how awesome he was. Really, what he wanted was for me to tell him how awesome he was. Skippy was a machine that ran not on Helium-3, but on ego. He could never get enough praise, despite his protests that he did not care what lower beings thought of him.
I grunted through a mouthful of coffee.
Wow,
This coffee is extra delicious. Thank you, I gushed, though it tasted like the same coffee I drank every morning. Oh, gosh, well, you know, I do my best, Joe, he stammered, verbally blushing. So, what's up? We now have Valkyrie's full suite of weapons online. Well, the ones I could bring online. The spatial distortion of the bagel slicer seriously dorked up some of the equipment, you understand. He then proceeded to run down a long list of the weapons that were available. Uh-huh, yeah, great. That was as much enthusiasm as I could manage when he paused for me to praise him. Great, Skippy used his I-can't-believe-this voice. My reply was the innocent tone of a child who knows exactly what he did wrong. What? I said it was great.
It's the way you said it.
Damn it, I hand you a senior species battlecruiser on a freaking platter, and you are disappointed? Sometimes with Skippy you have to bite your tongue and just not argue. The way I remembered acquiring our mighty Valkyrie, it had not been handed to us on a platter. We took it with blood and sweat. That's what I wanted to say, since that would have dragged the conversation down a rat hole and accomplished nothing other than pissing him off, I kept my mouth shut. It was not possible to change Skippy's mind about anything, so why bother trying? I am terribly sorry, Your Magnificence. We very much appreciate the amazing gift you gave to us filthy monkeys. But what? But you are disappointed. It's just... Aha! I knew it! You ungrateful! Skippy, come on, give me a break. I've had a bad day, month. Hell, I've had a bad career. True, but that's been going on for years. What is wrong with this new ship that you say is so amazing? Well, nothing is wrong. I just... Look, we have missiles and masers and particle cannons and railguns. That's all great. I'm sure the masers and stuff are more powerful than the ones aboard the Dutchman. The missiles are faster, smarter, and, more explodey. But other ships have all that stuff. I thought a Maxulk's warship would have something, you know, more awesome. Like an anti-energy beam pulse cannon? Anti-energy? Is that like dark matter? My guess was based on Star Trek technobabble. It's energy, Joe, not matter. Duh. Although, to generate the beam, we first have to create antimatter. Then that is obliterated to yield anti-energy. See, I was right. You were not right. You guessed, and it was a stupid monkey guess. Whatever. In regular matter, the protons at the center of the atom have a positive charge, and the electrons orbiting the center are negative. Antimatter is the opposite, right? Protons are negative and electrons are positive. I know that, because whenever we went out to an Italian restaurant, my Uncle Edgar warned us not to let the antipasto touch the pasta, or the table would explode. Huh, he sighed. Joe, I feel so sorry for the teachers you had in school. Okay, so if dark matter is not antimatter, then what is it? You really want a geeky physics lesson before you drink all your coffee? I want a geeky physics lesson never, so no. Can you break it down Barney style for me? I'll try. What you monkeys call dark matter makes up a significant part of the matter in the universe. It is all around us, and its mass binds the universe together. Oh, a light bulb went on in my head. It's like the Force. No, you idiot. It's matter. You just can't see it. A planet the size of Earth contains an amount of dark matter equal to, about one squirrel. Yeah, my fist smacked the table. I know that squirrel. What? It tore up my mother's bird feeders. The dark matter is not all concentrated in a single squirrel, you numbskull. Are you sure about that? One time I went out to scare it away, and it tried to bite me. That thing was nasty. No! Dark matter is not like the dark side of the Force. It's not evil, it's just... Oh, why am I trying to explain this to a monkey? To you? Because in a previous life you did a bad, bad thing? No one deserves this punishment. What about the people who put pineapple on pizza? Oh, well, that's different. How about you skip all the nerdy blah, blah, blah and tell me what this antipasto cannon does? It creates a pulse of anti-energy in a beam that disrupts the shields of an enemy ship. The pulse cannon is most effective against lower technology ships because Maxolt's and Rindaloo shield generators can partly compensate for the dark energy disruption. Cool. Now the coffee really was tasting extra delicious. Now that this pulse cannon is back online, we have another big advantage? Shmaybe. We are no longer at a disadvantage. All Maxolt's warships carry anti-energy pulse cannons. Joe, this cannon is not a wonder weapon. It has significant issues that have to be accounted for in planning a battle. The cannon is slow to cycle. It can only shoot once every 21 seconds. And each cannon is only good for 6 shots before it has to be taken offline for the containment system to recharge. The beam can be degraded as it contacts regular energy or matter, and in combat, there tends to be a lot of regular energy in the battle space. Even backscatter from laser beams can degrade a pulse cannon's effectiveness. Whoa. 1 shot every 21 seconds is a low rate of fire. Okay, so we need to create a procedure for using this thing, get the crew trained, and incorporate the pulse cannon into our combat simulations. After we fire the pulse cannon, how long will the enemy shields be down? The shields won't necessarily be down, Joe. They will be disrupted and weakened in that local area. The procedure for using the cannon has to be that we fire the thing, then concentrate other weapons on that area. That is how the kitties use their pulse cannons, yes. Hey, could you bring me coffee and good news every morning?
Ha! I would not count on that!
Now that we had a functioning warship, our strategy was to conduct hit-and-run attacks against isolated, easy Maxolk's targets. The goal of the attacks was to keep the Maxolks off balance, to make them disperse their forces because they wouldn't know where we would strike next, and to generally sow fear in the hearts of the enemy. According to Skippy, the last time the Maxolks had lost a warship in combat was 1,300 years ago during a brief dust-up with the Rindaloo. Now they had lost 2 ships that they knew of, the ones we framed the Boss Varrock for blowing up. And they were going to lose more ships, lots of ships, and the attacks would be conducted all across their territory. We had considered striking vital support facilities like shipyards and space docks, but those were hard targets. We might get away with hitting one space dock before the enemy pulled back their major combatants to protect their other major facilities. The risk, in my calculation, was not worth the potential reward. There were much less risky ways to tie up their fleet. The first target we selected was a pair of destroyers that were scheduled to strike a Boss Varrock research base in a star system the Birdbrains called Copradru. It was a small, unimportant base, far from the ability of the Boss Varrock fleet to defend. That isolation was why the Maxolks had selected the place as a target and why they had tasked only 2 lightly armed warships for what they called a punishment action. We were going to show the Maxolks the definition of punishment. But first, we were going to work up the ship and crew for the operation. We had plenty of time before we needed to be at Copradru, so we created a list of attack scenarios we needed to train for, and Sims scheduled the training around the ship's maintenance needs. I was looking forward to the attack simulations. They would be a good way to get some emotional release without endangering our ships and crews. But first, I needed to do something more important. Gunnery Sergeant Margaret Adams was ready to be awakened from the coma. Joe, Skippy reminded me gently. It's time. Just a minute. I scrolled down a summary of the proposed attack simulation we would run that evening, until my laptop blinked and shut off. Hey, I was reading. It's time. You were only reading that to avoid making a decision. It's time. Okay. I stood up and straightened my uniform top. Should I change into a fresh... No, that would be avoiding again. I'll be right there. Hurry. I am starting the process now. Valkyrie is a big ship, and it was not a short distance from my office to the medical bay. To get there, I walked at a determined but not rushed pace, so I didn't alarm any of the crew. That didn't matter. I saw only 2 people along the way.